This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
All I want to do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I want to do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I want to do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I want to do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Check, baby, one, two, three, four. Check, baby, one, two, three. Check, baby, one, two. Check, baby, one.
It's going to work, shaker. The beat is like sweet and a candy. I'm feeling manly and your shaker's coming in handy. Spot on my club from New York down by in Virginia. Tickling you around Delaware before I enter. Turn to seduction from face hips to feet. A wiggle and a jiggle can make the night complete. Now since you got the body of the year, come and get the award. Here's a hint, it's like a long shot, son. Flip tails and let me see you shake it up like dice. The way you shake it up is turning mighty men to mice. But A plus got a surprise, that's a back. Now let me see you shake it up like a rock shaker.
All I wanna do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I wanna do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
All I wanna do is zoom, zoom, and your boom, boom. Is that what's up, you guys? It's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. It is Wednesday. Humpty hump. It is hump day. You know, hump day really didn't mean much during the pandemic. So now we're getting back to Wednesdays really meaning something, I think, as we all get back to work, as we go into offices. If Wednesday was a person, I bet they were pissed over the pandemic. That was my thing, was hump day. And now nobody gives a shit that it's Wednesday anymore, and every day is just the same. So I wonder if Wednesday will go back to, like, do you ever wonder about that? Like, what things will go back to the way they were, and what things will completely change, you know? I was just thinking, I said this in an interview, I think this week, I think on Monday's episode, but I, for those who didn't hear it, I saw a bar band outside on Saturday night, and it was so amazing. I forgot how much live music matters to me, and I think to so many people, obviously, but it could have been the shittiest band in the world, but just to hear live music, like, I thought I was watching the Beatles. I was like, holy sh-. I was like, it was like that scene in Back to the Future where Michael J. Fox is wailing on the guitar, and the guy, Marvin Berry, calls, you know, Chuck, you know that sound you've been looking for? Listen to this. Oh my God, you guys probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But I thought I was seeing the best band in the world because I had been so long since I'd seen live music. But then the other thing I saw that night that I was like, crap, we're going to go back to things like this. I peed next to somebody in a stand-up urinal. So ladies, you know, let me fill you guys in. So I know you guys get to sit down, I think, unless they just have you squatting in bathrooms. I've never went into a ladies' bathroom because I hear that's illegal. but I was standing up, and I get pee shy. You know, you're standing next to another guy and you can't help but get pee shy. So I always do multiplication tables in my head, like 2 times 2 is 4, 4 times 4 is 16, all that kind of stuff. And that helps me go, like, if I'm at a urinal and nobody's in, it's easy to pee. But if all of a sudden I get pee shy and then I have to really try to pee. And this guy next to me, he's peeing easy. And then all I'm thinking is, like, this guy's wondering why I'm not peeing. This guy, like, he finished before me. I still not had a pee drop out. And it was so one of those things where I was like, because then you're thinking about what this guy's thinking about you, which is completely an insane psychopathic way of thinking. Like, honestly, I get it. But still, it's the way I thought. And then I'm like, I don't want to go back to this. Can we just do away with urinals completely? Like, I'm going to have to, you just forget the things that, you know, our old lives, you know, I forgot all about standing at a urinal next to somebody. I forgot all about that. Like, it's going to be weird. Like, I'm so used to wearing a mask and not making any facial expressions. I'm like, I try to smile with my eyes now. I do. I try to, if I'm hiking and I pass somebody, I try to give them a really wide eye. Like, they probably just think that I'm a murderer. No, but I try to give like a smile with my eyes because, you know, I have a mask on. But I'm now realizing I'm going to have to use my facial muscles again. I've had resting Ryan face this entire pandemic, and now I'm going to have to be expressive with my beautiful smile and my kind eyes. How are you guys? Are you good? I was just thinking, I was thinking you guys are probably one of the healthiest relationships and one of the best relationships I've ever had in my life. So thank you. And I don't even mean that in any kind of joking way. I genuinely mean that. I think I've talked a little bit the last couple of days that there is not a big decision, but there is something that's going to be happening to the podcast that it looks like it is going to happen. I have got, been back and forth with a contract, and I think I'm going to be signing it potentially this evening. And, I will make an announcement as soon as I'm allowed to make an announcement. But the weird thing about that is I've been fired. Like, I've shown up to jaw. I was in a movie. It was like a Lifetime movie. I showed up to set the first day. I got let go on set. The director just didn't like my look. And I was like, you cast, like, I was in the room with you. Like, what? I didn't even act. It was just like, nah. And then, I mean, I've been cut out of TV shows. And by the way, usually every actor has, but I learned to, the first time I've done 2 episodes of The Office, the TV show, the NBC show. But it was in its final season. I had booked an episode in season five or six of The Office. And it was with Steve Carell, and it was like my dream. Allison Jones was the casting director, and it was just, I was so excited, and I fucking told everybody. I got it. I told my parents, I got it. And I was so excited. And then I got the call that they had written the part out because of time. It's only a 23 minute show with commercials, and they didn't have enough time, so they wrote the part out. And I had to then either hope all the people that I had made a huge deal about it with forgot about it. But my poor parents, they were like, what? And my mom was like, did they not like you? Did they realize they didn't like you? Did they hire you and then realize they didn't like you? You know, it's so hard to explain how a different industry works to people that don't work in that industry. So I learned a very tough lesson, is that you want to scream from, like, you know, the tallest building that you're happy and you're excited and you're scared and all of that stuff. I will let you know as soon as I know. But there's part of me that's looking over my shoulder, you guys, and kind of like, is this really real? Like, is this true? It's not going to affect the podcast. I will still own all of the intellectual property rights, and it should not affect any of the crap I say on this. that was like a big thing that I wanted to be able to say whatever I wanted to, and that seems to not be an issue. Hopefully that doesn't bite me in the ass at some point, but I will let you know as soon. But the exciting thing, you guys, the exciting thing, the thing that scares the shiz out of me, is I could make a living out of this. I've said it this last year, is that this is my goal. My goal is, as you guys know, I got let go from my job over the pandemic, and it's been like 6 or 7 months. And my thing was, what if I didn't have to go back and get a job? What if this was my job? And I treated it like my job. It is my job. And I put more time and work and effort into this than anything that I've ever done in my life. And you're like, Ryan, I listened to this. Are you sure? But no, you guys know. And so there's something really exciting about the possibility that this could all happen. But then at the same time, there's something really scary, and I got to make sure I don't sabotage it, if that makes sense. So I will let you guys know as soon as possible. But I got a couple great back and forths today that looks like it is. So I feel like, I don't know. Did Ashton Kutcher, is he doing that Punk'd show again? Am I on a new episode of Punk'd where they just take normal, everyday, regular Joe Schmo podcasters and just embarrass the shit out of them? If so, I hope I'm not on the season premiere of that. Today, I said yesterday it would be Bill and Becky Bailey, and there was going to be a little crazy segment. I need to postpone that until Friday because I needed to get approval, not from my parents, but from the other guest in that. I just need her to listen to the audio, and she wasn't able to do it today. So she's going to do that tomorrow, and you guys will know what that is. It'll be fun, all that stuff. So today, is it cool if it's just me and you guys? And we're going to do a full Real Housewives of New York recap of tonight's episode. This is brand spanking new, you guys. You know, I do the Kardashian recap on Friday, but this is Roni. It just aired tonight. I watched it. I just took notes. It is fresh in my mind. And oh my God, what is going on this season? It is like it's like David, it's like Twin Peaks. It feels like a fever dream. Like, I'm like, what is going on? I think this episode, parts of it I really liked, but it's like a really slow burn. And this season has been a really slow burn. And you see, like, you know, like a greatest hit got played tonight, like Sonya Was Wasted. And you're like, that's when like Elton John plays Rocket Man at a concert. You're like, woo! Rocket Man! I know that song. So when Sonya gets rung, I'm like, woo! Yeah, here we go, babe. Yeah, baby! So I'll get into that in a second, but I wanted to cover a couple of quick pop culture stories with you, if you don't mind. This is crazy. This is considered a news story. That's how crazy this is. Stormy Jenner, Kylie and Travis Scott's child, went to Disneyland today, folks. And they have pictures of them everywhere. And Travis Scott is wearing a full-on bag over his face. I'm not talking about a face. I'm talking a bag. And there's one thing about being inconspicuous, like, you know, I don't want to draw attention. There's another thing about wearing a bag over your head. He's wearing a bag. Like, who's the man wearing a camouflaged bag over his head? Like, I mean, is anybody, if I went to Disneyland and I saw that happen, I would be scared shitless. I would be like, why is there a man in a camouflaged bag over his head running around? And he has like 7 like personal security guards. And then there's Kylie Jenner. Like, what is going on with Kylie and Travis? You know, I don't think they're together, but at the same time, then there's like Kylie posing like a, you know, doing her Kylie poses. And I'm like, Stormy. So I wonder if Stormy, what her awareness is of, like, if Stormy's ever like, Mommy, you're being extra thirsty today. Is everything okay? Like, even Stormy's got to be like, Mom, you're rich. Why are you doing, like, I just hope there's a time when Stormy's like 13 or 14. She's like, Mom, why all the cars? Why? Like, I, you know, there's a lot of starving people out there, right, Mom? Like, I am so curious to see how age affects Kylie Jenner's spending. Like, if there will be, you know, and this is the thing. Like, we got confirmation this week that Bill Gates has cheated on Melinda Gates a couple of times. So this divorce has been in the works. And he said he was in a loveless marriage, but he said that, of course, to Jeffrey Epstein, who he went to for marriage advice, supposedly, which is just like, wow. Like, how do you, what? I mean, huh? I don't, it's like if I went to like, so Bill Gates was, you know, he's been, you know, it comes, all these Bill Gates cheating stories come out, which is its own ball of wax. But the thing, my point is, Bill Gates is a billionaire. You never see Bill Gates with an Instagram posing in front of like a Bugatti, you know, he's like 1.25 million Bugatti and he's like posing in front of it. But yet Kylie Jenner's always there. My mom said, and I've never had money, but my mom said, you know, if you have money, you don't flaunt it. You don't, you know, and I've tried not to flaunt my old Navy clothes or anything nice that I have like that. But I mean, isn't there something to be said for not flaunting your wealth? And we saw Kim Kardashian got robbed in Paris because she was flaunting all the diamonds she was wearing. And I feel like Kylie is just headed for something like that. And I heard she pays over $300,000 a month in personal security. Or maybe that was actually the number for the entire Kardashian clan, but it was something insane. Like, also imagine that. Imagine, like, everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be rich, blah, blah, blah. But then imagine being famous and then having to pay. Like, you're like, I have to fucking pay to be, like, think of it right now. Like, one of the only things I don't have to pay for is, like, I don't need anybody, like, I don't need a security guard around me. But if I did, I would be livid if I was having to pay for a security guard. Like, what? So nobody hurts me? Like, it really takes a lot of the fun out of being famous and rich if you have to, like, get people to protect. You mean people might try to kill me for this? I don't know. It's just wild. Oh, also, this is exciting, you guys. So Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are still going strong. So remember, they went away to Big Sky, Montana, and we got the first official photo of Bennifer. Now, they split because, you know, she had to get back to work and he had to get back to work. But the romance is still going strong. And people, parties, you know, people in both camps are like doing these kind of like, you know, like, it's still going strong. And they want to make sure that we know that she did not pursue this until after the Alex Rodriguez relationship was over. She wants us to know. So she had some intermediaries put that quote into like Us Weekly and things like that and Daily Mail. So she is very, but she wants to know. But I now, it's very fascinating to think that, like, have they really been pining away for each other for all of these? I mean, the romantic comedy in me wants to believe that, yeah, that is like they were each other's ones that got away. But I just don't buy it, because I was looking at old paparazzi photos of Bennifer. Yeah, because I'm a grown adult man and that's what they do. And I don't watch sports. I look at old pictures of Bennifer, and it immediately struck me what annoyed me the first time around was that it always looked like, and by the way, I'm not defending Ben Affleck. I think he's really creepy and has potentially done a lot of douchey things. And I love Jennifer Garner. I think she's a saint. But my opinion back then, it always looked like Jennifer was looking for the camera and posing for it. And Ben was just there trying to, you know, like have fun and live his life and be with Jennifer Lopez. But it always looked like Jennifer Lopez wanted the camera, like the camera was a part of their relationship, if that makes sense. So when, you know, there was like a public kind of outcry that, you know, people didn't really like this relationship for some reason kind of took a hit on J-Lo's image. And people were like, they thought that she wasn't good for Ben Affleck. These were actual stories back then. And I think she was really thrown off by that because she had been kind of, not like a golden girl of the press, but very, you know, she was the it girl for a time. And remember, Bravo Ducking Bravo, the Instagram account, they did a nice retrospective in their stories. And I forgot about this, that Ben was in, I think it was like Canada, and he went to a strip club with the co-stars of his movie, and he cheated on Jennifer Lopez with a stripper. And that's supposedly what part of the reason that ended their engagement in the first place. But it is so funny, all the things you forget about celebrity culture over the years. And then you're just like, whoa. I mean, we need to write the history of pop culture. And a chapter would be the Bennifer years. I mean, that was something. So I think after the year we had, there is something really exciting to think about. Can we have what we once did? I think that's the idea that we really got to pay attention to, is I think part of it is us yearning for something that we knew, for something that we, you know, that we had lived with, that you know, something not stable, because it obviously wasn't, but there is something comforting in things that we already know. And I think that's why it's exciting too, because after this year, you're like, whoa, if they can make it work, what if we try Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt next? What if they get back together? And you start to play these kind of weird pop culture games. And wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be cool if we could make this happen? And I don't know. I don't think it can. I don't think lightning can strike twice. But it is nice that people from the early aughts, like, we're giving, you know, we're doing something for pop culture. We are taking a stand and saying, we are here. You know, that is what Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston is doing. I said Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez is doing for our generation, I think. So that is that on that. I'll have more pop culture stories for you tomorrow. Now, this episode of Real Housewives of New York, you guys, like I said, it has been a crazy season. Now, we're only on episode 3. Episode 2 ended. Remember, they were doing a Burning Man party. Leah threw a Burning Man party, but she threw it in the back of Ramona's Hamptons place. And we had a couple key moments that we need to talk about that play into tonight's episode. So we had where Ramona couldn't remember her, her one of her servants or something, you know, her party event organizer. And she said, oh, I always forget the name of my help. And she said that in front of Ebony and Leah. And she said, and Ebony was like,
did she just say she forgot the help?
And, so we had this. We already knew this was going to be an issue. And so that gets talked about in tonight's episode. The thing that's crazy, the thing that I want to speak about again, is that at the end of they had this beautiful Burning Man party in the back of the house. And I would have lost my shit to be there. That is something where you're like, give me all the Red Bull vodkas. I'm staying up and I'm using the teepee. I'm using the pizza oven. I'm swimming naked. If everybody closed their eyes while I take off my clothes. They had like Cirque du Soleil walkers. You know, you don't have fire eaters there and then go to bed early. And that's what these ladies are doing because they only have a 5-person cast. When you have a 5-person cast, everybody has to pull their weight. And I know you're like, well, it's reality. They just have to be real. But like, you know what I'm saying? Even these ladies, these old pros like Ramona, Sonia, and Luann, they know they have to dance for their dinner, you know? So even you'll see last week's episode, they notice Ebony snuck off and went to bed and they're like, okay, let's scream. And like, they got really loud and they were like laughing. And it's almost like they were like, okay, let the cameraman get what he needs to get. And then we can call it a night. It was like, they clocked in. They're like, this is the heavy lifting part, you know? And if we were there, we would just be like having the time of our lives. But they've been to so many of these kind of parties, but that's what infuriated me. Now, I really love Ebony Williams, the new cast member. She's the first African-American housewife that New York has had. So kudos in that regards. And I think I really like her, but I will say I really disliked her decision to go to bed early last week. And this is where I almost have to have a talk with myself. Cause I kind of was a little, and this, I can't tell if this is something, if I'm thinking this wrong. But she did explain it tonight's episode, and it even actually helped me understand it, was that I knew, and maybe it's just because I've watched Ramona for 13 seasons, that I knew she didn't mean help in a derogatory way. Also, it wasn't an African-American woman she was speaking that into. It was this white lady that was doing this. So I was like, oh, you know, I think sometimes I do and we all make excuses for Ramona because she's just so dang entertaining. But at the same time, she's so problematic. But even then, I was like, I don't really think this is a super big one of those problematic times. But maybe this is the kind of attitude that gets us into, like, my kind of attitude is what gets us into trouble. Maybe I do need to be super militant and be like, hey, that is ridiculous. But for me, I was like, Ebony, you just got here. You're already going to start, like, correcting Ramona? Like, that's, you know, usually... I mean, I kind of thought that was ballsy and cool, but at the same time, I was like, oh man, Ramona is like picking on like a, you know, a handicapped child, you know, it's not fair. It's not, you know, you don't do that. Like just, I mean, I hate to call like Ramona's like an elderly lady, but I mean, she looks amazing, but Ramona doesn't think the way that we do. And also, Ebony kept saying last episode, she kept saying, like, who's Heather Thompson? Because they were talking about Heather Holla Thompson coming back. She's like, Ramona, who's Heather? Ramona, who's Heather? Can you not hear me? And being kind of persistent in that way. And the thing is, I know she knows who Heather Thompson is because she said in many interviews that she went and watched every season of Real Housewives of New York. So I know she knows who that is. So that kind of thing, I don't know if she was playing it up to Ramona. I mean, I definitely think that Ebony has a game plan. I think she does. And I noticed it more tonight. And maybe this is how she is in her entirety of life. And I think it probably has served her really well. I was really impressed with it. Is that she does this thing where she will call out, like, she'll be like talking to Luann. She'll be like, you know what, Lou, what I think is interesting, Luann, is she uses the name repeatedly and that ingratiates yourself to somebody. So that makes you know, you're having a personal moment with me. Like, hey, Lou, you know, people, when when somebody says your name, they are making it a singular experience. And it, you know, it kind of makes that a, you know, kind of a special moment. I mean, I know it, but that, I think Ebony is doing that. And so she is really winning a lot of these ladies over because she's also complimenting them. She's like, you know what I love about Sonia? Me and Sonia are alike in this way. Like she finds something to like about everybody. She does. And she points it out. And I've noticed that. And I think it's a really good because everybody likes to be complimented. Everybody likes to be complimented. I'm going to pause for you guys to compliment me and okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, thank you guys. That was very nice. We just had a moment there. So tonight's episode is called A High Rate of Interest. So if we go by the titles, High Rate of Interest, we know this has something to do with money, right? And then interest, that word is interesting because interest means like you're interested in somebody. So paying attention to something. So it's kind of a double meaning as we go and look at the episode. So nice title, guys. Nice title. Last time we also talked about Luann was she's being fun and flirty with a new guy friend named Garth. Unfortunate name, but we're not going to... I mean, there's only one Garth. There's two, actually. Garth Brooks. I like slick... Hey, remember me, Garth? I like slick stuff. You got... I don't know. I know there's a lot of new listeners, but I used to... I got to do the Garth Brooks thing again because it just makes me laugh so much. There was a thing when Garth Brooks first came to Facebook and he was like, welcome. He goes, I want my Facebook page. It's going to have cool stuff, slick stuff. But all in all, it's going to have personal stuff because that's just who I am. God. Is Garth Brooks still on Facebook? I wonder if he does post slick stuff still. Can anybody, in fact, somebody, I think Karen is her name. She's from Ireland, I think. Ireland or Scotland. She wrote me about Garth the other day because they're still in a... he had to cancel 5 shows there years ago because of the government. And they're still upset about it, she said. I would be upset if Garth wasn't able to play in my hometown. Oh, man, that just got me excited. Maybe I will see Garth Brooks one day. I've never seen him in concert, but that's got to be the most intense concert you'll ever see. Also, the second Garth is, of course, Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World, Dana Carvey's Garth. So Ramona... you know, so we know we're going into the Ramona situation with the help word with Ebony. And also, Ebony, that's the other thing, like I meant to say, was you can't go to bed. you can't go to bed. You got to be a professional. And I know she said, oh, you know, it was a lot for me, which I don't believe was true. I do believe she was kind of saying, well, this is how I roll, which is fine. But when you're new at, work, like this is a new job for her, you show up, you know, you wait, you're the last one there. She's doing a great thing in terms of personalizing each experience with each lady, but you got to go, you got to show up to these events and you got to stay there. You got to stay there even when you don't want to. You don't get to sneak off and do an Irish goodbye. So we start, you know, the credits, like I'm Leah, I'm sex positive and BS negative. I think that is still just one of the worst taglines for a housewife. It is potentially really embarrassing. And I gotta say, you guys know what a journey I've been on with Leah, and I love her so much. I do. I think she's having the rough season that we predicted for her. In this episode, it's very frustrating. She really, there's like a, not a rage, but like an outrage almost, where she's trying to call Ramona on some bullshit. And once again, it's like, we all know Ramona's not potentially in her right mind. We know that. We know that. Why are you going to like keep, you know, it's like we all laugh with you. Like, Leah, you don't need to go this hard on Ramona because we're already laughing at Ramona. It's already done. You don't need to keep harping on it because Ramona will never admit she's wrong. She's like Hannah Burner in that sense. I mean, kind of. She's like Hannah. There's an attractive reality show quality to people that never admit when they're wrong. It's annoying personal quality. But, you know, Ramona will never admit when she's wrong. And in doing so, we are able to have personal outrage as viewers. But when Leah picks up that personal outrage and says, I'm going to make Ramona pay, I'm going to get Ramona, you're not going to win. And in doing this, all the effort you put into this just makes us start to question you, start, you know, it's one of those things. And I love Leah. You know, I love Leah. I really do. I want to like her. And I see what she's doing. But what I will say, this episode, I kind of started to crystallize exactly what's going on that I find. So the first season when she was on, it was this great breath of fresh air. And it was like this craziness. We were locked inside during COVID and she was freaking out and it was so funny. And these women, it was like, you know, Batman facing a new villain, you know, and you're like, who's this Bane guy? You know, and it was like, who's Leah? Leah standing up to Ramona like that? Whoa. And it was a breath of fresh air. But now in the second season, three episodes in, you realize there's no real universe where Leah would be hanging out with Ramona and Luann and Sonia. Maybe Sonia, maybe, but there's just no universe. And with only five cast members, it starts to become glaringly obvious that there's no reason for Leah to be there. So Leah even feels that too. And some of these things that outrage her, she probably would be like easily say these things to her friends, you know, and it would be fine. But she's saying it, so it all of a sudden becomes like Leah's their granddaughter and she's sticking up to their, you know, and I know they're not that old and that much apart, but it's becoming glaringly obvious. So it is weird. Like I caught moments where Leah was at dinner where like Sonia was starting to freak out and like be so drunk. And she was like, okay, I'm going to the bathroom. Like just didn't even phase her, came back and she, you know, it was like a kind of been there, done that. I know what's happening. And Ebony was just like Ebony even said, I felt like Alice in Wonderland. It was like through the looking glass. She was just like, I think I can. I mean, it's fun one time, I bet. You know, we all want to see Sonia that wasted in person one day. I'm hoping to see that at BravoCon. But I'm sure after you see it repeatedly and repeatedly, it loses a lot of its luster. Also, those poor workers at the end of that episode. So anyways, so we start, we're at the Hamptons. We're at Ramona's house in the Hamptons. It's the next morning after the Burning Man party. Ramona and Sonia are in bed together with their dogs, Coco and Marley. And Sonia's going, Coco, is Coco dead? And Ramona's like, no, Coco sleeps very deeply. Remember, Coco's like 19 years old. Like, so, you know, Coco's potentially sleeping the sleep of angels, you know, like, I mean, I do get nervous every time I see Coco on screen because I'm like, first off, is Coco dead? And we're just like, Ramona is just one of those weird people that's like Lars in The Real Girl. Or secondly, like, are we going to watch Coco potentially pass away on camera? So I get nervous. Like, I don't want it to get to that point where I'm like, I would hope at some point producers are like, can we not film with Coco? We just feel like something, this isn't good for her. So she's like, no, no, Coco sleeps very deeply. And Marley's like, you know, Marley's totally fine. And Sonya's like, Sonya goes, my dog's alive. We're bouncing around in scenes. And this next morning, Luann goes into Leah's room. Leah's brushing all the knots out of her hair. Do you girls have to do this? Like, it's so funny. I always think of hair just being straight, so it's like easy. But like, I'm realizing, I mean, how often do girls like have to brush their hair? Like, I'm trying, you know, that's the funny thing. Like, you think back to your exes and you're like, I should have paid more attention to like the feminine things that they did. Like, of course I remember certain things, but I'm just trying to remember, like, do you guys like brush your hair? Like, is it like My Little Pony and you're just brushing a mane out? Or is it kind of like, I'm sure it's different. This is another segment of Ryan Learns Girl Stuff. There's so many things I don't know. It's like the Big Bang Theory. Like, what happened in the universe? How did it happen? Like, the same things with women. Like, I need to know everything and I feel like I know nothing. Ebony is down in Ramona's kitchen trying to work the coffee machine. And that might be kind of awkward because it's one of Ebony's first times in a solo scene. There's a cameraman, remember, just pointing at her. So it's hysterical to me that she's trying to work this coffee machine. We go to a new scene. What do you think of the healing session? Sonya asks Ramona. And she's like, it was good. It was really quaint. It was nice. I really liked it. Sonya says, you know, I fairly felt for Ebony. She was talking about her grandma. And, you know, they bring up Leah's grandma again because Leah's grandma's potentially about to pass away as well. And she said, you know, I really appreciate Ebony sharing that with us. We've known about Leah for a while, but Ebony, that's just so crazy that she is willing to share with us. That's so refreshing, you know? Also, I want to remind people that I am not a big fashionista. I don't think I need to remind people that, but I do want to comment. I didn't get to really bring up the outfit Leah wore last week and with the huge bow where she looked like JoJo Siwa on crack. And I need to talk to Leah and find out if she's like, if it's like kind of a performance art bit, like she's kind of like winking to the camera, or if her stylistic choices. Now, we get into one of her stylistic choices in a second, and I don't know, I knew the bow because it was so big. I was like, that's a big bow. So I was aware that that was weird looking, but I mean, sometimes you guys and you dudes actually need to tell me, like, some of you dudes are like, like fucking sharply dressed all the time too. I want to be more like, you know what? Post-pandemic, I'm going to be a sharply dressed man. That's it. I have the Solomon sisters, actually, they said they would help style me because they're stylists. So I'm hoping that happens. So that's a goal of mine post pandemic. Anyways, this is my visual vision board. My audio vision, but not visual vision, but audio vision board. So Ramona and Sonya are talking about Ebony. They're really impressed. They really like her. I always wonder if they feel like they need to say that kind of stuff at the beginning of the season to make themselves look good. But Sonya says, you know, this was a really big deal Ebony shared with us. Sonya in a talking head says, I'm so glad Ebony can share where she's at and what she needs. And, you know, I feel like I need to start sharing more. And I feel like I can be open with Ebony. Luann goes into Ebony's room and asks for a nail file. Luann gets up and hugs Ebony. And we're made aware of just how tall Luann is. Like, I was just like, holy shit, she's a giant. Is Luann 6'7", 6'8"? What is she? I mean, she seems like she's tall. I forgot how tall she is. And then Ebony must be really tiny because it was just, it really just shocked me. And I was very aware. And I was like, wow, she just hovers over Ebony. And Luann's like, did you sleep well? I noticed you did an Irish goodbye. And then she goes, maybe this isn't the group. It's not wise to do the Irish goodbye with so few people. And I was like, Luann is dead on right. I was so, I mean, nobody likes to be told what to do and what not to do, but I was so happy that was said. I think Ebony needed to hear that, and Ebony kind of needed to be like, hey, you're kind of on our ship a little bit too. Like, you're bringing your special sauce, but you're over here. So, you know, just friendly reminder. I thought it would have been great if Luann was like, don't make me remind you twice. Okay. If I have to say this again, I'm throwing fists. Ebony says, you know, there were some parts of the day that were a lot for me. So Ebony like kind of retreats to that of like, yeah, you know, that's, it was a lot for me. And she's like, what happened? You know? And she's like, well, Michelle, you know, Ramona's hospitality director, you know, Ramona called her the help, and we get a clip package of that's like a 5-minute segment of all the times Ramona has done something like this with one of her helps or forgotten the name. I mean, it really went on for a long time. I was like, you could have done a full, and by the way, don't you think Roni needs to do the best of Ramona? Like, what I loved about Saturday Night Live is that they used to have like best of Chris Farley or best of Adam Sandler. What if you had like best of Ramona Singer and you were able to see all of her finest moments like they do in those clip packages? I think that would actually be amazing for all of the historical housewife characters. So Michelle, she said she's telling all this, and Luann's like, oh, that happens all the time. It's fine. We all have our faults. Ramona seems to have more than most, Luann says about Ramona. Ebony says, I'll tell you why it bothers me, Lou. This is what I'm telling you. She brings up Lou's name a lot. This is why it bothers me, Lou. You know, we find out that her grandma, who is ill right now, that she was talking about in the last episode, she was, quote unquote, the help for a white family and, you know, raised the kids, did all the housework. And that's why it is, not only because she's an African-American woman, but because her grandma, you know, had experience like that. And Ebony says, thank God Michelle was white. Luann says, you know, I don't think she meant anything racial about it, you know, seeing people less than. And Ebony says, I need to talk to Ramona about this so we can move forward in a real friendship. What I care about is the intention behind it. And Lou says, we just started the day, went into the winery. And then we go back. Sonia and Ramona are getting ready in her bathroom, and Leah walks in, and she's wearing like a camo thing and like another patterned thing below. Like, it's a lot of patterns, and it really shocks Ramona. It like scares the shit out of her. She's like, ah! And Ramona is wearing like some kind of faux fur. And Ramona immediately is like, you look like Tarzan. We aren't going to the jungle. I'm the fashion police. Too much print. You're making me dizzy. Like, she really goes off. She really, really, she does remind me of my Grandma Davis, and like just really goes off like 6 things in a row about how horrible Leah's outfit is. And can you just go change into a white shirt, you know, with jeans? And, you know, Leah's like, okay, yeah, I am trying to make you dizzy, Ramona. And then she's like, it's always a jungle with these girls. Womp, womp. So we're already, and by the way, we do find out Ramona had something on, and she changes into Prince after she saw that with Leah. So I thought that was funny. They're all loading into the van. Marley, Sonia's dog, wants to go, can't go. That's a cute little moment. We meet Chris, the driver. They actually gave him a little chyron that said Chris. So I didn't know if, like, I was like, oh my God, is Chris going to come back into play later? You always look for those things of the characters that might, you know, that might come back in some fashion. Sonia says, Luann has come a long way. Luann has come a long way. And she's like, I love this new Luann. Ramona says, oh, it's summer outside. It's like 90 degrees. So we're getting like a full Real Housewives of New York experience. All the girls are complaining and kvetching. Leah says, are we doing Garth tomorrow? Remember, Garth is Luann's new boyfriend. And so Sonia says, let's not say that. Ugh. And we find out that Sonia really does not seem to like Garth. She says, Garth doesn't bother me. I'm sure he's a great guy, but the way Luann acts like she's a teenager around him, she just gets really annoyed. And then we get a flashback of the drive up to the Hamptons between Sonia and Luann, where she is like saying like, oh my God, Garth can lift 10 cars with a single finger and all, you know, like just crazy Garth facts. And Sonia just seems really over it, which is interesting because Sonia doesn't usually get this way, it seems like, with new, and especially with new guys. Like, she tries to flirt with them harder than Luann does. So I find it very interesting. So let's get over it in a hurry, because we know where this one's going. She says in a talking head, she's like, oh my God, Luann, let's just get over this guy in a hurry because we know where this one's going. And she kind of makes the sign like axed, like he's out, like that this isn't going to last at all, which is just so, to me, Sonya really is the funniest. I mean, Ramona's right up there, but Sonya is really funny. And I think we kind of undermine Sonya because she gets so wasted, but she is actually, she does like have these really wise moments. She really does. I think she's undervalued in that sense because she paints herself as a clown most of the time. So she has these big buffoonery scenes and they're like kind of high comedy and, you know, almost I Love Lucy-esque. And I mean, I think her and Ramona together, it is just, it's like old, it is like Lucy and Ethel from I Love Lucy. Luann is giving the girls itinerary and she's like, I wanted to do something different. So we're going to North Fork. It's a really quaint town that I discovered and just want to share it with the girls. And that's really, she's very proud of this. Luann says there's a lot of sexual energy that was going around last night. And Leah lets us know she got a dick pic last night. I swear it wasn't me, you guys. Luann says, I would be so disgusted if a guy did that. And first off, we never find out who sent it. I'm guessing it's like the PETA guy. Obviously, they're just in like a sending nude back and forth thing. I mean, who knows what's on Leah's phone? But I like I said, I'm going to keep like I saw that picture of PETA chip guy. I can't imagine the dick looks any better than the actual guy. Like I might have been looking at his dick and that was passed to me as a photo of him. But it just so Luann's like, that's disgusting. Sonya's like, no. And they don't send pics. And Luann says no vajayjay or boobs. And it's just, it's so, I think, was it Shonda Rhimes from Grey's Anatomy that really got vajayjay started? Because I feel like she needs to go to prison for that. Like that's, she needs to go to jail. That it should not have been in our lexicon at all. Like vajayjay, it should not sound like some kind of MTV VJ or some kind of like new spring break thing. Like, are you going to vajayjay? It's too slapsticky for what it, you know, it's like vajayjay, wah, wah. I feel like every time somebody says vajayjay, it should have like a clown horn, like squeak, squeak. Ebony says, I won't even send pics of my face, which is actually a pretty funny joke. So we're in a new scene. They're all at the winery finally. They're getting their wine tasting of all five of the rosés, but there's only three people drinking. Remember, Luann and Leah are not drinking. And Luann says, she's like, what do you have non-alcoholic? And they're like, well, we have a sparkling pink lemonade and, you know, water with lemon. And she's like, ooh, sparkling pink lemonade. That sounds that's amazing. And then she's like, you know what? Should I get my rosé from the truck? Remember, she's like pushing her non-alcoholic rosé, which, by the way, is really idiotic that if she knew what this season, how hard she was going to go with that rosé, she should have slapped her name on some fucking froze, like some non-alcoholic rosé and did like Countess Luann's non-alcoholic rosé. Like that would be iconic, don't you think? Like all these housewives make products for everything they do. If she's trying to be sober, make a fucking dime off it, you know? So she goes to get her rosé out of the van and Leah says, you know, I hope Luann's comfortable here. It is kind of odd that she suggested this place. And Ramona's like, well, no, she's cool. And Leah's like, maybe she's here to prove that she will be okay around us, Leah says in a talking head. And Luann pops back up and she's kind of wearing this furry thing. And Sonya goes, every time I see Luann, I think she's wearing Marley, her dog, because it's like big and poofy. That's what I'm saying. That's why this show works to me, even when it doesn't work. Is because you have those little stupid off-the-cuff comments. Like, I do think Sonya is a star. So the things that Sonya says is really funny. It's like, I think Paige DeSorbo, even though I don't like some of her, like, things that she says, and I don't like that she's friends with Hannah, I think she legitimately says things that's funny, and she has comedic timing. And I think the same thing about Sonya. Ramona has no comedic timing, but that, in a sense, is comedic timing because we laugh at it. She just has no control over it. But I think Sonya knows when she's being funny, you know? Luann says, it makes me feel good to have my frozen wine bottle with rosé with me. Ebony now goes, Ramona, I love what you said about Lindsay, who was their servant that was serving their server. Sorry, not, did I screw up? Their server that was serving the rosé. And she goes, Ramona, I love what you said about Lindsay, that you remember her name. And Ramona's like, uh-oh, what did I do? Okay, you know, are you about to say, she can feel something's about to be said about her. And she's like, it's probably potentially going to be bad. Can you wait to say it later? She's like, no. And Leah's like, yeah, why now or later? It's fine. Like, Leah's like right in there. Like, she's like ready to, you know, Ramona says, Ebony explains. And Ramona immediately like, okay, no. I hire people to help me. So I call them the help. And so then Ebony's like, okay, so you're using it in the literal sense. Now, historically, that word has made, people feel very devalued. And all the other girls are kind of just watching this, and there's like little smirks because they've played this game. This song is so familiar to them in terms of Ramona. So they all know kind of what's going down, and they're kind of waiting to see what Ramona's reaction will be to Ebony because, I mean, greater women have fallen under the sword of Ramona. You know, Ramona Singer has destroyed many a housewife. So they're all waiting. And Ramona goes, I love that Ebony said that. I love she said it in a non-condescending way, you know, that I'm not stupid. And, you know, I love that. And Ramona is being so, she's like, I love that. Okay. Hospitality assistance. And, you know, that kind of like Ramona sidesteps that. It's kind of fun. She's like, everything's fine. So then Leah gets in there and, it's brought up that Ramona and Ebony both had COVID. And Ebony's like, oh, really? You know, how would you find out? She's like, well, I was with my ex and my daughter and in Boca. And, they were doing the test and I want to see. And I got the test and it turns out I had it. And then Leah's like, so, but you said you donated plasma. And she's like, yeah, I had very strong antibodies, which, you know, there are, you know, you can have a big viral load of big viral load is that's my sex name, big viral load. I had a very strong antibodies, but you what I'm saying is that like she's kind of just lying basically. And Sonia says, no, Ramona, it wasn't you didn't post it on Instagram, so we know it's not true. But Leah is not letting this go. This is what I was talking about earlier, is that Leah's not ready letting this go. She's like going harder and harder. And Ramona's like, Leah. And she's like, did you donate the blood plasma? And Luann says, Ramona is so obviously lying. Her face is red. Ramona goes, I don't lie. I do not lie. I don't lie. Leah says, no, I am not going to stop. And I love these ladies when they all get in on it, but I will say Leah was going way too hard. And it just, you know, I think there's a delicacy to these shows that I feel like Leah is stomping all over, and I feel it's hurting her in the long run. And I think I know what she's trying to do, and I know what she's trying to do with the Heather Thompson thing. Like, she's trying to bring content. She's trying to be like, okay, we can talk about this. This is what I can bring to this. Like, I get it. I get that idea. But the thing is, all housewives need to be coached is don't do that. You don't have to do it. The producers will let you know if something needs to be brought up, but you don't need to go out and do research and like, this is my storyline and I'm going to, because, and then it comes off so trying, and you don't want it. Like, Ramona will hang herself by herself. She doesn't need help. Leah says, you're lying to, Ramona in a talking head says, you know, I donated plasma. I don't know why Leah is questioning me. Sonia, by the way, is just chugging the wine. And Leah says, you're lying to the press. She's trying to make herself look better after her behavior over COVID, and I'm just sick of it. Leah says, it's lies. It's propaganda. You're spinning the whole thing. Sonia says, you know, you gave plasma and saw it, you know, in it's big, battered. You know, Sonia's just babbling. Ramona is just staring at Leah with that cold Ramona stare. And Leah says, I'm not being the COVID police. And Ramona says, you're being a vicious, vicious girl, Leah. You're being vicious, vicious girl, as she's walking off to the shitter. And then we get a new scene, and we find out Ramona goes, the best way to handle Leah is ignore her and walk away. I don't know what her problem is, so I'm walking away. And I do love that. I mean, if somebody annoys you, fucking walk away, rather get into it. I'm fine with that. Leah stands up and goes, God, you guys, nobody fucking backed me up. No, and Ebony goes, no. And Leah's like, I want her to admit it. Ebony says, Leah, what do you want? You want her to apologize? You're not going to get that. Ebony says, I get that it's morally bankrupt thing that she did, but what are you going to do about it? Ebony says, Leah, you're never going to get what you want from her. Sonia says, Yeah, you know, Ebony pulled out the info. Ebony was able to pull out this info from Ramona, and that's pretty good. And Luann goes, I got to go find Ramona. And Leah's like, oh, great. Everybody's chasing, you know, Ramona now. And Luann goes into the bathroom area. She's like, Ramona? And Ramona's like, I'm in the toilet, for Christ's sakes. I'm in the toilet. And Ramona says, oh, my God. Oh. And Ramona says, oh, my God, you're having diarrhea. Okay, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And Ramona, you just hear Ramona grunting like, ah, the seas were tough that day inside that bathroom. So Luann goes back outside to the other ladies and she goes, great, Leah, you gave her diarrhea. And remember, you know, Ramona's had other bouts with IBS. So this isn't, you know, IBS is a lifelong battle, you guys. Remember, Camille Grammer, Kelsey Grammer's ex from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, for a long time, she was the face of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. I'm not shitting you. She did it. I remember in interviews when they were still married, she was the face of IBS. Which, imagine being the face of IBS. Imagine your shitty part-time jobs. Like, and she thought, I mean, this was like a charity. Like, I need to get the word out there about IBS. It's like, we know about IBS. We know all too well about IBS. And I always thought she said, Kelsey encouraged me to be the face of IBS. And I'm like, what if that's when you knew Kelsey Grammer did not love Camille Grammer? When he was like, yeah, I think you should definitely do the IBS spokesmodel thing. Also about IBS, do you ever wonder about like action movies like Mission Impossible or like that show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland? I always used to wonder, like, did any of these characters ever suffer with IBS where they're getting chased and they're just like, I got to shit so bad. Like, ah, and then, you know, like on 24, they always had the clock going off. And then like one of the boxes would just be Kiefer Sutherland in a porta potty and it just would keep ticking. And he's like, I'm working in here. I'm busy. Oh, I forgot. Girls don't, I'm not supposed to make fart jokes on here. So I'm sorry. Okay. IBS, that we're done with that. But, oh, wait, one more thing. Leah says, you can't be slurping down oysters and chugging rosé. It's not going to be good for your stomach. Ramona says, Leah's being impudent. Impudent. You know, the only thing I'm guilty of is opening up my house to her. And Luann says, you know, so Ramona comes out and Luann needs to go use the bathroom. And she's like, is it safe in there? Like, did you use spray? Ramona says, I'm going to take a stroll and check out the area. And Sonia's like, I'll go with you. And Leah's like, great. You know, okay, now I'm the enemy. Now I'm the enemy. Sonia says, no, she's licking her wounds. This is the process. But she's still up on her soapbox and wagging her finger, Leah says. So we're in a new scene with Sonia and Ramona. And Ramona says, Leah, you know, lies and she makes up stories. And Sonia says, these days it's a cancellation. She can't say cancel culture. So she's like a little rosé in. And so it's just, you know, and then Ramona's like, Leah has 10 prints on. Leah has 10 prints on today. And Sonia's like, so do you. And Ramona says, I have 3 prints on. I'm a leopard. I'm not. And Ramona goes, ah, she screeches. And I got to say, these are the moments that I think are magic. Like, you, I mean, that is a magical, I mean, just think about the reality of that situation and the human behavior that's being exhibited and these characters that we know and love. I think those little moments is what is going to keep this show going until we get a better cast or at least more people to fill out this cast. Luann hears that scream. It's like, oh, maybe the Heather Thompson stuff is coming up. And Leah says, I know I'm not going to get what I want from her, but every time I look at her face, I'm going to be thinking about it. So Leah really does. That could be a tragic flaw of Leah of not being able to let things go. That is a crucial thing that we all need to be able to do is let things go. And if you don't, like, I mean, just let this be a lesson to you. It's not good. And then I think Leah says, Sonia goes, I'm glad we cleared the air. Well, not in the bathroom. So they keep making bathroom jokes. Sonia and Ramona are walking back and they pass this one guy. And this one guy goes, you look great. You have a great body. And Sonia's like, what, me? You say me? And then she's like, are you married? And he's like, no, I'm single. You think I have a great body? Wow. She's really excited about this. And then she goes back to the other lady. She's like, this man told me I had an amazing body and he doesn't even know who I am. She is so into it. And by the way, isn't that like the rap on most guys, that most guys will tell ladies like to a fault? Like nice ass. Like, I mean, won't they like catcall it, ladies? That's a big thing. So it shocks me that Sonya was like, wow, look at me. Like getting a con. Like, I feel like ladies tell me stories. This happens daily to them, you know? Leah goes to the bathroom, which, by the way, I would have loved a moment of like, Jesus, when she went into the bathroom of like, holy hell, what happened in here? Ebony. Ebony asks, you know, Ramona and Sonya, did we have a good conversation? They say we did. Ramona goes, I like, Ebony, that you explain yourself in not an aggressive way. And Ebony says, I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic about Ramona. She says that in a talking head. Sonya, we get a shot of her chugging rosé. This is a really brilliant move on the director's and editor's part is, you're setting up this final scene. So you're doing these real shots of Sonya chugging wine. So it's like, it's not like hitting you over the head with it, but it is there. And you like that because the human brain picks up on that. And then, you know, like we know where this is headed. So they're getting in the van and they're going to go shopping. They're still drinking in the van, Sonya especially. And Sonya says, she goes, Ebony, I love your arm cleavage. And Ebony goes, this is the first time I'm seeing Sonya get tipsy. Remember we dealt with this already. We dealt with this, I feel like every season. Remember last season, it was Sonya's water pills she was taking that was making her act insane. And in the reunion, she said, oh, I figured it out. It was these water pills that I got prescribed in Mexico or something. And everything's good now. But like, this is the same. You know, at some point you can't blame water pills, you know? And then I was like, God, this is when you really miss Dorinda, because you would love, like, would have Dorinda have been in that drunk banshee mode along with Sonya, or would have Dorinda been a voice of reason, or at least Dorinda would have been that middleman to bridge, you know, what happens, I think. So, they're talking about Garth again, and Sonya goes, if I have to see Garrett one more time, I'm going to kill myself. And they're like, Garth. Oh, and then Luann's like, he's like a cowboy, you know, he rides you across the plains, Garth. And Sonya says, he rode your ass across the plains. They go to Green Fork, New York, or Green Point, something. They're at a town in New York. We see Sonya pouring herself rosé, and Ebony is trying to get her not to. That's like a real quick shot in the van as they're walking up, and she's like, what are you, the wine police? And Ramona cuts off Sonya. They go into a cute store, and Sonya goes, everything is beige in here. I love it. They're all shopping. Leah is like, I'm going to get a blanket. Like, Leah pulls these blankets. I don't know. Whenever I see shopping like this, when it's like I'm used to like Amazon shopping or just fretting like, should I buy this? Like, and then feeling guilty once I buy it. It's wild to watch people buy things in actual stores. I'm just not used to it. So it's like, I'm like, how do you know you really want that thing? Like, you need to like be able to put it in your Amazon cart and then take it out, put it in, take it out. Like, that's what shopping is. To see this shopping, I'm like, you just know you want to get that blanket? You just walked in here. And then she's like getting a blanket for her sister. And then I was kind of also like, Leah, like, let's not go crazy with the blanket spending, you know? So they're all shopping. Luann goes, nothing like shopping to make a girl feel good in general during COVID. They go into another store. Ramona goes, I'm going to get sage for the house. And we get a flashback from 4 days ago with Heather Holla Thompson and the girls, you know, Ramona and Luann meeting Heather in the city. And Leah says Heather is coming in and she's going to be a punching bag because she does not know what she's walking into. So once again, we have Leah already going too hard. It's like, you just did this for Ramona. Like, do you think you're using your capital, you're using the goodwill you have with us fans, and you're using it all up on this bullshit? Save it for something big. Save it. Why do any of this? You're wasting your capital, that your hard earned capital. So, she literally said Luann does hard drugs in a podcast, you guys. God, I wish that would have been on my podcast. We find out Ebony worked for Hooters at age 17. Jax Taylor alert. And Ramona goes, big tips and big tits. Am I right? And Ebony says, well, Ramona, and most of all, my personality. They're in another store now. They're looking at kimonos. And this store, they can take their masks off in the store. So that was a big moment. Luann is looking at this puffy pirate shirt, you know, just like a black puffy pirate shirt. And I thought it would have been amazing. Like, I so desperately wanted, I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if Sonya got caught shoplifting in this scene? He was like, man, we need to talk to you. I don't have anything. And like, they just shake her and a bunch of jewelry falls out. It would be incredible. Could you imagine? But at the same time, you know, one of these ladies has shoplifted at one point. And I bet one of these ladies, like, it's like Winona Ryder. Like, there's no reason to shoplift, but it's just saying that you did, that you could, that you can. Like, there's something dangerous about them. And I bet one of those five women have done that. And more recently than we would think. That is a so bad it's good promise. I bet you. We will never find out the truth to that, though. So, Leah says she doesn't know, if she wants a, Leah says she doesn't know what she wants. And she's saying about Sonya, she's like, she can't tell if Sonya wants, Luann by herself. And that's why she's acting like this. And she doesn't want Luann with Garth. And Sonya keeps going, no Garth tonight, no Garth. And then Luann goes, you know, when Sonya gets like this, I feel so bad. So I got to spoil her. And she's like, do you want this black pirate puffy shirt that I was going to buy for myself? And then Sonya gets in it and they're like, oh yeah, it looks amazing. She's like, I look stupid. And they're like, no, you look good. So like, we're at that point where they're not really trying to help Sonya. They're just buying her things, you know, like, hey, this will put more Band-Aid on. And Ramona goes, she's drinking more than she should, and it's not going to end well. This, the big A, which is alcohol. And Sonya's like, it's just me and Lou and no Garth, as she hugs Ramona. So we're in a new scene, and they go to this place called American Beach to eat. Sonya is already coming in hot to this restaurant. We get drink orders, and Ebony orders a French 75, which is gin, elderflower, and champagne. Wee, look at that fanciness. And Sonya goes, two of my girls aren't drinking, so I want to be sensitive to that. And, you know, and she's literally cannot keep eye contact. And she's just, and Leah's like, I want a mocktail. And she's like, a mocktail without calories? What kind of good mocktail has no calories? And also, I think I brought this up on another, because I know I have a lot of, sober listeners that enjoy mocktails. And I mean, it seems like mocktails really are becoming a bigger thing. And I'm all for anything that makes people happier. So, Ramona goes, a dozen oysters, which now all I can think about is Ramona's IBS. So I'm just like, Jesus, Ramona. But I guess they're going to stay at Ramona's house, as she's used to blowing that bathroom up. Sonya goes, shrimp, shrimp, shrimp. And that's crazy, because they're not even ordering yet. And she's just yelling shrimp. Sonya says, I don't like a big dick. It's a nuisance. At my age, it's a nuisance. I don't like a big dick. She's like, she's not being asked her thoughts on big dicks. She's offering them. And we've always got to say thank you when somebody offers us something. Ebony says, here is what I like about Sonya. She doesn't take herself too seriously. And Ebony, this is what I said earlier, Ebony's smart. She's complimenting all these ladies now. I have a feeling this will turn at some point, but right now she's being very complimentary. And Sonya, Luann says she felt tempted a little bit to drink. So we get a quick shot of like, I gotta go have a cigarette. I can't give up all my voice vices. And we get a quick shot of Luann smoking. And I gotta say, there is something exciting about watching Luann smoke. I think it makes us think like, I think it's like we're seeing something real. Because if you notice, we don't see a lot of cigarette smoking on TV. You don't see a lot of that. In fact, there is laws about that. You're not allowed to promote cigarette smoking on most TV shows. And that's why you don't see cigarette ads in between any of these. So it's like a little treat. You're like, wow, Luann's puffing a cigarette. Like, I wonder if she's got to be a Virginia Slims lady. Am I right? Virginia Slims. What if she was like a Kools? She's like, I love a pack of menthols. Ebony says, you know, I had a lot of fun with you ladies today. Thank you for making space for me. Which that's another big thing of, you know, we have to give people grace. Guys, we have to give people grace is making space. That's another big buzzword. We got to make space for each other. Thank you for making. Hey, guys, thank you for making space for me in your ears. But she's saying, I connected with all you ladies. Leah, while, you know, Ebony is kind of saying this really nice thing, Ebony is literally making a bib for Sonya because she's spilling her drink all over it. So we see Leah tying this, like, napkin bib around her, which is like, you know, Sonya's not five, and she has a napkin bib. Like, we're not eating lobster here. Ebony is explaining why she went to bed early, but I'm just watching Sonya because she is like drunk listening, where she's acting like she's listening, but you can see she's like in a different country entirely. And Leah asks Luann, who sits down, if drinking out of the froze, if drinking out of the wine glass helps. And Leah says, I felt like this might be hurting you a little bit. You're having a mocktail, Luann says. You know, that's a mocktail. And Leah goes, just hear me out. It's not the same. It's seltzer with a little bit of grapefruit juice. And Luann says, you know, I feel like I'm a part of the scene when I have this. I feel like I'm a part of things, so let me have this. And Leah says in a talking head, I'm trying to tell Luann in a respectful way that, you know, she's closer to actually drinking rosé than she's thinking by doing this. But she doesn't want to hear me. She misses drinking, and she's not there yet. But this is another thing where Leah's like, Leah, why are you going so hard this episode? They sit down to eat, and Sonya goes, I want the biggest fucking steak in the house. I want a big bone. And then she looks at Ebony and she goes, is that PC to say? I don't want to be canceled consultation. And they're like, oh, no, cancel culture. And then Ramona goes, why do we want to cancel culture? And Ebony goes, we don't want to cancel culture. And in this group, we talk. We don't do that. And Sonya says, I love Lou and Leah for not drinking. And in front of her is like literally a tub of rosé. And she is hammered. She's hammered at this point. And Ramona takes her drink away and says, we are very close to the danger zone. And Lou, it's so funny because Ramona takes the glass and puts it next to Lou, and Lou goes, don't put it next to me. It was like a really funny scene of like, bam, bam. And Sonya says, I don't want to be canceled. Like, she's just screaming things. And Leah says, okay, we need a plan for later with this. Leah says, I'm looking up things. It rubs me the wrong way if you talk shit about them. So this is about the Heather Holla Thompson. So we go, Leah says, okay, we need a plan for Heather. We need a plan for when Heather comes tomorrow. And Leah says, I'm looking up the things that she said. And Leah says, it rubs me the wrong way. If you talk shit about them, what are you going to say about me? And, so there is nothing authentic about Luann and Heather said, and that she's doing drugs. And Lou goes, oh, Heather and I have been cool. What? And there's a flashback to them where Luann's like, you know, I've been doing the cabaret thing. And Heather's like, I never have seen it. And she's like, you haven't? Are you kidding me? You got to let me know. I can get you tickets. Luann says, my first instinct is to say, don't come. But then I'm like, no, do come. We're back from a commercial break, and Sonya goes, are we doing oysters tomorrow? They love their seafood, these ladies. Luann goes, yeah. First, we are working out with Garth now. And so Luann FaceTimes Garth, and Sonya's going, Garth, 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 always Garth. And then she goes, you know, so Luann goes, hey, handsome. And then Sonya goes, oh, he even picks up on the first ring. Ah. And Luann says, we don't need anything, Garth. We just need you. And Ramona says, all I know is my girlfriend has a big smile and she's acting like a little girl. And I love that for her. And I got to say, that's a really nice sentiment. I really love that Ramona said that. I think that's really nice. And so Ramona says that, and Sonya goes, shut up, Ramona. Leah gets up to go to the bathroom, and so Leah gets up to go to the bathroom while Sonya is screaming. She's like, ah! Ramona goes, I'm deaf because you always shout in my ear. And Luann gets off the phone. Like Sonya's screaming, and Luann just like acts like, nobody acts like they hear Sonya except for Ramona. And Luann goes, Garth's a real dude. Do you know what I'm saying? He's a real dude. And then Sonya calls her friend William on FaceTime. And he's like, hi, we're calling people on FaceTime. I'm going to call you on FaceTime. Love you. Bye. And hangs up. And Ebony says, I've never been at dinner with friends with this energy, but I think I like it. I feel like Alice in Wonderland. She's like, well, this is not my normal jam. I'm intrigued, which is a great, that's a paycheck attitude. You know, that's a, like, I'm getting paid. So then Sonya goes into crazy town. She's like, I have my own connection how things work. We got to protect the poor because stocks are going up and poor are getting poorer and the homeless are getting homelesser. We did AIDS PSAs forever. We did AIDS. I raised millions for AIDS. What matters is my cause now over what matters is what I bring back. She's on one. And the food is getting delivered at this time. And then Sonya FaceTimes this guy, William, again. And she's like, my friends are saying I'm out of it, so I'm bringing you into it. And my friend works at J.P. Morgan. And then Sonya, Ramona says something, and she goes, you should shut the fuck up. You shut up, Ramona. And she's like getting like really close to her, like really close to her body. And Ramona goes, stop with the drinking. Ebony says, you know, can I talk to William for a second? And Ebony picks up the phone and FaceTime. She's like, oh, you work for Chase, Chase J.P. Morgan. I love what you guys are doing for my people. Yeah, I run, you know, and they're now like talking business. And Ebony is like using this as like a moment to make a connection. And then all of a sudden, Ramona goes, Wells Fargo has better rates. And so shut the fuck up, Sonya says. And Chase is closing the wealth gap. Sonya pushes Ramona at this point. You want to talk about Wells Fargo? What's wrong with you? And they're all just like, it's insanity. And that's where we leave the to be continued. And next week's preview looks like 10 things happen. Like they showed the preview and I was like, is this 4 episodes in a row? And it's like all one episode. Like Leah takes a vow of silence, which by the way, after this week's episode, probably the right move. Vow of silence. I mean, I'm wondering if the producers are like, Leah, we're going to ask you to take a vow of silence on today's episode. So you guys, that was this recap. I'm glad we got to spend this time together. I hope it's okay if it's just me and you today. Thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for all of the support to come. And I will talk to you guys on Thursday where we will have a full recap of the season premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with a guest. I will talk to you guys on Thursday. Bye. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Betches.